Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone. Again, this is Apostle Johnny Floyd coming to you here on the 11th of January, as God has blessed us to see 11 days within the new year and special time period. You know, I've been able to celebrate my daughter's birthday, my mom's birthday, you know, and with some family and friends' birthday that are alive here within this time period. So it's been good for me, and I am grateful to come to you tonight, special night for me, no particular reason that I can really just go into detail about, but it's a special night for me. And so I'm extremely elated about the topic. But before we get started, like always, let's go into a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we are grateful. Father, we thank you. God, there are many things that you have done for us within this year that sometimes we may have struggled to even think that it would be possible. But God, you have made the impossible possible, and we can do all things, oh God, with you. So, Father, we pray, God, that the words we speak tonight, oh God, lead your people into a position to where they know and understand you. Father, we are grateful tonight. Open their ears, oh God. Use our tongue, Father, that the words that we speak, Father, not be ours, but be yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear hearts, I'm excited about tonight. Again, and it may sound crazy, but no special reason. The excitement is really not something that you would generate, be fake about, or be false about. My excitement is based upon truth. And so if you recall, I started out this year really wanting to get into the things that God has put into you, and the Lord led me today to make a change just for this week, and he may change it next week as well. I'm not sure, but he wanted me to make a change this week, and so and I was grateful for the Lord to speak to me on this particular topic, and I heard someone talking about it not too long ago, and it kind of drove me to really dig off into something and ask a question that nobody else was willing to ask. And so tonight I want to talk about love. What is this? Right? What is this? When someone says or mentions the word love, they're either talking about something or someone, and they're saying, in so many words, they may say, I love you, or I love this, right? And so we do ask the question, you know, what is this? I will be quite frank with you that it is difficult for a human being to discuss or give definition to the word love without using it in the descriptive manner. And I'll say, so they can't describe love unless they mention the word love. And to intensely give a definition to the word love, you must be able to articulate that without saying love. You know, now the problem is that in the culture of the Western civilization, the word love can mean a multiplicity of things. And I want to be candid because we grown folks and we listen to this. So even when we talk about sex, we try to phrase it by saying that people are making love, right? They're making love. And they now give description between making love and having sex. Again, we grown folk, we talk. But in the totality of it, it is really the same act.
but where some believe that if you're emotionally connected into it, it's lovemaking. If it is just something that you're doing, it's having sex. But the nature of it is the same. So, you know, how do you become descriptive in explaining what love is and saying what love does, or the act of love, and, or making love? How is love connected into these descriptions? So this is difficult now, right? Because even when you get down to the topic of I love you, again, what is that? What does that mean? Because to different people, I love you could mean different things. There is the possibility that thinking that a person loves you may have been shaped or formed by some type of abusive nature. Some young men grow up and watch their fathers beat on their mothers, and their dad cry and say, I love you, or you know I love you, after he beat her, bruised her, no, I love you. So he grows up, if something doesn't change his pattern of belief, thinking that in order for this woman to know that I love her, I got to beat on her. And so now the love ain't what she gets, it's what he gives. Now, part of that is correct, but the act of it in describing it is wrong. So, and then we have young ladies that have been told by men that they love them just to have sex with them. So now they grow up thinking that in order for this man to love me, I have to have sex with him. That's what some of young women grow up. Now, and sadly enough to say, in an abusive situation, there are some young men that has been abused, raped. We call it molestation, but it's actually rape, and by another man that's older and bigger. And that man tells that young boy that he loves him. So that young boy grows up thinking the love of a man has to come from this man having sex with him. So he's messed up his mind and attacked his spirit. So the word love has so many facets to it that we struggle defining it. In some cases, someone can tell you that they love you, and you look at them strange because even you have trouble defining what that is. I just want to talk real tonight if I can do that. You know, and I will get back to the stuff that God gave me last week, but I want to talk about this tonight because the Lord instructed me to. And so from A to Z, we have the word love mentioned so much that it is categorized now. It is labeled on what you love, have love for in things, and what you love regarding people, right? And so, but crazy, because the true definition of love cannot be given to things. And I want you to understand that. Love was never directed towards things. That's point number one, right? And I, before I go into any biblical context, right, we say we love something. Man, I love this Mercedes. I love that house. Or, boy, I just loved that game last night, you know. And so we are now giving a descriptive presentation, I want to use, to a situation that cannot receive love. Whew, man, this is something else. Now, and I want you to grab this now, because we have to be able to define love first. And if we can define love, it can better determine whether love can be delivered to a thing, or whether it can, or delivered to a thing and to a person. Okay? So let me give this first descriptive nature of love. Love has one direction to it, and it cannot, when you are delivering love, it has one direction, and that is what you give, right? Love is what you give, and that love is meant to be given to people, or from individuals or people, right? Why? Because if love is directional in one way, it has to be what you're willing to do for someone without expecting anything in return. Now it gets difficult now, because that would indicate that love has no expectation. Now, you know, I told someone this, that it, when I was so interested in them, and they found that to be hard to believe, because they couldn't grasp it. And they asked me, you know, what is your expectations of me? And I said, nothing. They didn't understand that. You have to have an expectation of me. I don't. I don't have an expectation of you. Well, how can you live without expecting something? So now that here comes the key. So now we are in an expectation, you know, position. Only if someone does something for me will I have an expectation of what they desire from me. Okay? So to them, love is, if I do something for you, I have an expectation from you. Are you with me? I want y'all to hear what I'm saying now. But love is that's not love. Now, if someone does something for you and they expect something in return, then that's not love. They're trying to establish some type of contractual agreement with you. Because love, again, in its definition, is what someone is willing to do for someone else without an expectation. I want y'all to listen to that now. You know, what someone is willing to do for someone else without expecting anything in return. Now, that's hard. That is a difficult thing, I am told, for someone to be able to do something for someone and not expect anything back. Prime example, someone gives someone some money, the person that gave the money has an expectation that you're going to give the money back, right? Because they need their money. So if you need it, I would advise everyone not to give it, because if they don't get it back to you by when you need it, then the expectations now is going to be destroyed. And then the people that was receptive of what you gave them is going to feel a certain kind of way, because they become defensive if they haven't honored the end of the agreement, right? So I gave someone something, and now I'm expecting it back. So that's an expectation. We have an agreement about that. That's not love, though. And you cannot use love in the same sentence if you have an expectation. Now, you heard me use or mention lovemaking, because men and women, after having sex, whether they feel like one was emotional connected and the other one wasn't, if the sex was good, somewhere in the holding of each other after the act has been done, you know, if it was real good, mind-blowing, you know, somebody might urt out the words, I love you. You know, let's be real now, because that has happened. And so where some may believe that you love what we did. You don't necessarily love me. Y'all with me? Want to be sure I express this now. I want to say it the right way. You love what this person has done. Doesn't mean you love that person. So you use the word love in that sentence because you're trying to give a descriptive nature of what happened between you and this other person that you enjoyed, and you're hoping that the person that you were involved with enjoyed the same thing, right? There is an expectation in the midst of that. That's an expectation. So I'm building it up to where you can walk with me with this now. And so in that area, we now have considered eros, you know, eros, love, and eros is just an act. It's an erotic nature between a man and a woman that they're able to reproduce in this particular nature. So sex now, if you're emotionally connected, is said to be love making or making love, right? Whether you are making love or not, you know, you are having or participating in a sexual act. I want to make it clear now. Does not mean that you love someone. How can someone make love and not love? I know y'all. I have a reason for doing this today now. So now again, we're giving a good feeling to an act when it doesn't really connect or in context fit the word love. Doesn't even come close to it. And so now, here is the ultimate struggle that we have in dealing with this word we call love, because the Bible gives us multiple instances where it tells us to love thy neighbor as thyself, right? And so it never pointed love towards a thing or an act, you know? It never pointed love to a thing or an act. Love was directional, and it was going to someone or a group of people, and it had no expectations when it got there. So I really want you all to take notes upon this now. So because it's just critical, it's important. Now, in the midst of this comes the confusion, because if abuse was a mixture of the word love in an act of violence, then you have one that would grow up being violent, thinking as love, and one that would grow up receiving violence, thinking as love. Of the time when women get in abusive situations, you discover that they was raised in an abusive household, and how their mom accepted the abusive behavior from their dad, and some saw abusive behavior from their mom, they grow up thinking that this is love. And these things happen in what we call dysfunctional households, but it's not the household that's dysfunctional. Dysfunctional is the individual. I want y'all to hear me now. So we struggle now defining love, because now when we say it as the people in the Western civilization, we have placed this word with everything that is dear and dear to us, whether it be sports teams, television shows, cars, houses, money. We've given love to those things, but those things cannot receive love. Think about that. So you have become dysfunctional when you are trying to love a thing or an act. You've become very dysfunctional. And so, you know, in some cases, sex with people trying to feel that first feeling they had like is an addiction. So it has become, sex is not lovemaking to some. It's a sport to others. It's something they get up and do. They would do it and come. I'm just laying it out for you now. So now you have to determine if how this person feels about you is love. And it's difficult when you don't know what love is. Whew, man. Took me a while just to get to that point. Point number three, is that you don't know really what love is. But I'm going to give you this definition now. And for you all to have your pencils and pads, I want you to write this down. Love is what a person is willing to do for someone else without an expectation. I want y'all to hear me now. Love is what you're willing to do for another person without an expectation. I know it's a difficult definition. But you need to grab a hold of that. So now the question is, what are you willing to do for someone without expecting anything in return? Now, we love our children. We still have an expectation on. We love our parents. Some of them we don't have an expectation on because of how old they are. Or we love people, but we now give the caveat that we expect something now, so it's not love. If you have an expectation on what you do for someone, it's not love. Can I say that again? If you have an expectation on what you're willing to do for someone, it is categorically not love. It's just an agreement that you have in a verbal or written nature that if I do this, then you do that. That's not love, ladies and gentlemen. I want to really drive this into you before I read the first scripture, and I'm almost getting ready to read that scripture. Love does not have an expectation. Now, for you biblical people, let's go to Romans chapter number 13, I'm gonna just read verse number 10. And I'm gonna give you a few minutes. You know, Romans chapter number 13, verse number 10. Now watch this. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Can I read this again? Romans 13. I'm reading for the King James Version. And 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, I'm going to read this in the NIV. Can I do that? This is the New International Version of this particular writing here. Romans 13, chapter number 13, verse number 10. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law, right? So, I'm going to read the American Standard Version. Romans 13, verse number 10. It says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. So it says the same thing. So love doesn't cause harm. So let's get that. love is not involved in harm. Are y'all getting that? You know? And so if love is not involved with harm, then when a young lady believes that she has to be beaten in order to be loved, something is wrong. And I'm not saying this to judge her. I'm saying this to help her. When a young man feels like that since he was a child, he was violated by, I don't want to say it was uncle or whomever, you know, and raped as a 2, 3, 4-year-old and grows up thinking that the only way men love him is to have sex with him, something is wrong because that's a violent act and it's against the nature of God. So, and I'm not judging anybody, you know, but when they think that this is love, then there's something wrong because love is not violent. Are y'all with me? Right? Love is not violent. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, but love is the fulfillment of the law. So now this tells you from Paul's perspective with the letter that he writes to the Romans, that he's letting them know that pain ain't love. Y'all with me? Pain ain't love. Romans chapter number 13, verse number 10 says that. Now I'm going to read my second scripture. It's John, St. John's Gospel, chapter number 15 and verse number 13. A lot of you already know this. So it says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Love is what you're willing to do for someone without an expectation. Whew. Boy, I hope y'all grab this now. I'm going to say this again. You will probably, because I want this to get in your spirit. I need for you to really grasp a hold of this. Because if you're doing something that someone may love you back, you're not planting the right seed, and them loving you back is not going to happen. Because love is what you are willing to do for someone other than yourself without an expectation. Let me camp out right here for a minute. There are many, many women that do things for men in the name of love. And when they don't get something in return, they're angered. And they struggle now with being in that relationship because you feel as though you love them and they don't reciprocate. So, now, if you love them, it's not based upon the things that you buy or what you may do for them in a sexual, physical nature, right? Love is what you're willing to do for someone without an expectation. If you're going to feed them and then walk away. I'm not expecting you to do anything for me. If you're going to pay the light bill, you know, it's best you do it in secret because people still struggle with someone else wanting to do something for them, and then there is no expectation. There's no expectation. So now Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that he that would lay his life down for a friend. Meaning Jesus now is getting ready to lay his life down, and he has no expectations of you. Because if there was expectations involved with whether he lay his life down or not, then it would have been determined whether he laid his life down for you. I'm not laying my life down for you. You know, I'm not laying my life down to you. Right? So that would have been expectation. When I was in the Army, and I told this story when this topic came up not too long ago, a Master Sergeant Cotton, man, I wish I could find that cat. She was still alive. You know, the impact he had on my life. Master Sergeant Cotton. He was my platoon sergeant when I was in Germany. And Sergeant Cotton pulled me over to the side, see his face now. And he said, do you love everybody? And I really didn't understand what he was asking me. And I my response was, I love my folks. He said, and what I asked you if you love everyone. And I, you know, me being 17 at the time, I had no real answer for that. And it's, we're talking 39 years ago, right? And so, I pondered that question and I told him, well, I love my folks. He said, you joining the army, you are fighting for the Constitution of the United States of America, which is afforded to those people that were born here in this country called the U.S. They don't like you for those. You're doing it for them. They hate you. You're doing it for them. You're doing it for the murderer. You're doing it for the rapist. You're doing it for the child molester. You're doing it for politicians. So if you take a bullet, you're going to die for all of them. So it's best you love everybody. Think about that now. You take a bullet, get blown up, you lost your leg for the sake of the Constitution of the United States, defending your country, you know, but the truth of the matter is you did it for all those that know you, that don't know you, that hate you, and watch these words, that love you. Powerful situation that you could be in unknowingly. So again now, you have to be willing to die, because there is no expectations. You have none after you die. You cannot say, I expected you to do this. When you give your life, there is no expectation for you to have. I want y'all to think about that. Because Jesus didn't place an expectation on his love for you. Romans 13:10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, but love is the fulfillment of the law. Romans 13:10. St. John's Gospel, chapter 15, you know, verse number 13. Greater love hath no man than this, than he that would lay his life down for his friend. Watch it now. Ye are my friends. If. So there is no expectation behind the death of Jesus. No expectation that he had of you or me. He had expectations of God. And this is important, because a lot of men and women don't know what love is, so it's been substituted for sex, been substituted for things. And you cannot give love to things, because it cannot benefit from receiving love from you, not things. They cannot. Dear hearts, I want you to really dive into this and think about it. It's important, because if we're not careful, and we've been doing it for centuries, we'll start loving things and forget about people. And some folks don't want to deal with people because they've been wounded. They've been hurt. You know, I don't trust you. I had a conversation about vulnerability. So it's hard for people to love, because their expectations is different. Same word, different expectations. And I used to tell my friend, you know, I told him, I said, you know, when people say, I'll do this if you do that, in their relationship, I'll do this if you do that, that's not a good relationship. That's a business agreement. That's what it is, a business agreement. And it does not depict, neither does it gravitate towards
a description of love. Hope y'all are listening to me tonight. This is critical. There are too many people that have a false sense of understanding in today's era of what love is. They're confused about this. That's why the topic says love. What is this? What is this? If love is it has no expectation, then what is this? Because every time I see something, there's an expectation behind it. So surely if somebody do something for me, they want something in return. Surely if they sacrifice me, it's not for them just to sacrifice me. They're looking for something in return. And if that is the case, dear heart, whoever you may be, male or female, single, married or unmarried, right, love has no expectation and is directional. And is directional. So notice now. Notice what love is. Love comes from a place. When it's released, it has nothing surrounding it. It's directional. It's going to the person or persons that you have been instructed to love. Whew. Yeah, even if this person has done something wrong to you, can you love them? If God gives you something to do for them, can you do it without an expectation from them? Think about this, dear heart. Think about it. I have 7 minutes left. I'm actually going to be online for 45 minutes. You know, and I don't want to go past that time because God gave me a specific amount of time and I want to stick to that. What is this? Love. Somebody explains to me because it's defined as what I'm willing to do for someone. How, and that's me giving it to them. So how do I give them the love that's in me when they disrespect me? Can I love somebody that disrespects me? Sure you can. Surely you can. God did not weaken you to that you could not or have the capacity to love. The truth is we've tricked ourselves into believing one falsehood that if I reveal to you who I am, you're going to talk about me, and I don't want to go through that because don't nobody love me. But yet Jesus loved you. And through all of the things that you did wrong, he still loves you. He has not given up on you. And I would pray that you not give up on him. Love. Think about this. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, grab a hold of this. Before I go into next week's message dealing with the tabernacle, you know, if you don't understand the love of God that he has for you, you will lose out on experiencing something that we struggle trying to define. Amen. Well, let me pray real quick. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I went through this the way that you asked me to, and Father, I pray that the people that listen to this and that pull this back up to regurgitate some things that were said, even as we drive the point, Father, love is what we're willing to do without asking anything in return. God, I thank you for blessing us to be able to operate that way and how you have multiplied the little resources that I've had in order for me to show love and show it, Father, without an expectation. Be with the listener tonight, Lord. Walk with them. Let them know, Father, that you love them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, dear heart, again, I scheduled myself, I know this says an hour, but I 45 minutes, and I want to leave you with this thought as I fall completely under the time limit. Practice loving someone. Practice loving someone. And do it to where they don't feel that you're not genuine in what you do. Again, dear heart, I love you. Appreciate you. Thank you for listening in. I'm grateful for the people in South America that are continuing to listen in, my folks up in Canada and in Alaska, all over the United States, in Ireland, in South America, not just Central America, but over in Africa as well. God bless you all. And I'm going to jump back into the tabernacle, the temple, Jesus Christ, me and you. We already went over the garden. So next week, get ready to jump back into that. God bless you. We love you. Amen.